Mirtz Hashem, today we are continuing in the Indian of Gaiva. Hopefully, but this seems like to be the last day of Gaiva. Mirtz Hashem for all of us, and specifically, practically, in the Sefer itself. We said before that a person should, in a sense, be misameach, but to the degree that somebody doesn't treat you with honors and honorifics. People, they're rabbanim, mamish. There's a famous mice, actually, I'll tell you. My Rabbi Bechiel Per is the progenitor of this story. He told it over. His sister, Rabbi Bechiel Per's sister, married Rabbi Yosef Tendler. Yosef Tendler was the Rosh Mechina of Ner Yisrael, of the high school, based Medrash in Baltimore. Famous yeshiva Ner Yisrael. So Yosef Tendler, he's a Talmud of Rabban Kotler. His father was a very famous Rabbi Isaac Tendler. Does anybody know who that is? Isaac Tendler? No, Rabbi Isaac Tendler was a student of Rabbi Baruch Ber from the yeshiva of Kamenitz. And he came to America in the early 1900s. He learned in yeshiva university early years under the Meitzer de Eloy. All these names will flying around for a reason, but there's important why I'm telling you this. I'll tell you, Rabbi Chaim Brisker, exactly, from Valojin. Yeah. So Rabbi Baruch Ber came to America, I believe it was in the 1930s. And he came to collect. And he went around different communities, different places. Specifically in New York, they made a very, very beautiful dinner for him. Wow, what a dinner. Now, who was he staying by? He was staying by his Talmud, by Isaac Tendler. And in those days, not everybody necessarily had refrigerators. They didn't even necessarily have ice boxes. Not everybody had an ice box. You had to order it. They would bring you this big ice thing. Well, these were the 1920s, 1930s. Oh, exactly. Not everybody had them. Right, and so Rabbi Isaac Tendler Rabbi Baruch Ber was staying by Rabbi Isaac Tendler's house for Shabbos. And I think that maybe they were through Shabbos to the next day, and I think that in the icebox, I think if they had an icebox, there was a piece of fish from the previous Shabbos. And they weren't sure exactly necessarily if it was like 100%, you know, ready or, you know, fresh at all. And obviously if you eat something which is a little bit off, you can get sick. And I think somebody from the Bnei Abayis was trying to be nice and served it to Rabbi Baruch Ber without Rabbi Isaac's knowledge. He would never have served that piece of chicken to the Rosh Yeshiva. Disrespect, he wouldn't get him sick. Later that evening, and so Rabbi Baruch Ber ate this fish. Maybe it didn't have such a pungent smell, but maybe he ate it. Later that evening was this big dinner with tremendous attendees, people of the wealthy, you know, the wealthy chevra of New York from community, Bnei Yeshiva, everything. So excited to see the Kamenitz Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Baruch Ber. And somebody got up before he spoke, and he spoke about the great Goyen, the Tzaddik, the Talmud Chacham, the Anav, the Bucky, all these amazing honorifics. Baruch Ber spoke. Later that evening, he came back to the house, and he was vomiting in the bathroom in the house. Vomiting. And Isaac felt so bad because I can't believe he's getting sick over the fish. He got sick because of us. He got sick because of the fish. He's vomiting. He said, Rabbi, I'm so sorry they served you with fish. Rabbi Baruch Ber turns around to him and he says like this. Rabbi Baruch Ber turned around to him and he said like this. Rabbi Baruch Ber turns around and he says, the reason you think I'm throwing up because of the fish, I'm throwing up because of the covet. The covet is what made me sick. He said he was more bothered, not by the fish. The fish is not what bothered him. What bothered him was is that all the honorifics. Some people are severely bothered by all these honorifics, all these different titles about them. People don't like that. Some people are like, oh yeah, finally, it's my time. Finally, people are recognizing.
So the fish was good.
They don't know that. Oh, the point is that. Well, the point is, some people don't like compliments. They don't seek out compliments.
You look good today. The nicest restaurant in Manhattan.
Okay.
My mom couldn't eat a thing. It was just too much for me.
I hear.
Okay.
Baruch Hashem. Amazing. Mamash amazing. The point only is to say, is that people don't seek out these things. People are not excited by these things. Some people are. Some people. There's a famous maestro of Rechaim Shmulevitz, where he came to the Beis Medrash, and like the whole Beis Medrash stood up for him, and he looked at Bachar and he said, "You're giving drugs to a sick man. I'm like to an addict. Ich bin krank." He said, "Ich bin krank. I'm sick with God. Coveted. I'm an addict to Gaiva. Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me." He was severely upset. I just saw an amazing video of Meir Mazuz, Rechaim Shmulevitz's story. Meir Mazuz Olav Hashom, who just passed away this past week. Where somebody, it was in a shir, and somebody came up to him, I think it was after the shir, to get a bracha or something, and they started saying the bracha upon him, Ashachalach Chachmasai L'Reyav, which is the bracha you say upon a Talmud Chacham. He literally looked at the guy, he says, shh, like, he like yells at him, I'll tell you in English, he says, shut up! Don't do that. That's bracha latala. If you do that again, I'm literally leaving. Because he actually doesn't believe that it's true. And if he doesn't believe it's true, he ain't gonna let you say bracha latala. And he certainly doesn't think he's gonna sit around and let you play games. What's the point? It's a real thing. The point is some people actually believe this stuff. Okay, well, whatever. You know, a Baal Gaiva is someone who like walks into the Beis Medrash holding a Sefer Torah. And the Beis Medrash is full, 400, 500 people. What does everyone do in the Beis Medrash when you're holding a Sefer Torah? You stand up. The Baal Gaiva says, maybe it's for me too. Right? That's a Baal Gaiva. You have to realize, no, they're standing up for the Torah, not for you. And if someone truly believes that, they understand that it's a completely different mode of life. And we're not necessarily used to it. And now they're personally bothered. Again, they're personally offended by thinking that they're whole. Yeah, go ahead.
But then we such a mean have to, we stand up for, we're a stand for rabbi.
Let me make it very clear. There's two separate worlds here. There's the world internally within them, and there's our job. Like the famous Sosalanta always said this idea of like, dover vehipuchai. Our obligation is to give them cover. That's our job. Our job is to make sure that this Gadol or Moshe Hirsch knows that he's the Gadol Hador. His job is to tell me, go away. Let's hit them like, and each one is doing their job. What? Rav Moshe Hillel Hirsch. Rav Moshe Hillel Hirsch is one of the Gedalei Hador, together with Rav Dov Landau, the head of the Oil Matoira. Baruch Hashem, I may have asked Rishana, he's living literally 2.5 seconds ago. He's living in our current time period. He lives in Bnei Brak, he's Rav Sheshiva of Slabotka. Right? Together with Rav Dov Landau, they are the two Gedalei Yisrael of the Oil Matoira. Michel Hirsch, by the way, he's the Nazi of Amdeni, whatever, no big deal, no T4. The point is that he's a Gadol Hador Shein Kamoyo. My job is to come in there and b'hachnog doyla to say, Rabbi Shalom Aleichem, the Gadol Hador, Moran v'Rabbonon, and his job is to say, stop talking. And they're both doing our jobs. My job is to mechabed, his job is to push away the cover. But nonetheless, however though, on our end, we're talking internally within ourselves, not towards other people. Our job is, if somebody is not treating you kunkul properly, if you're treating you with honor for your titles, be misameach in that. Rak lezoisi tzar al asher chato chaver v'goyim tzar v'pagam l'maylo. V'chein yaseh gadar ba'atzmoy, kasher yuchel kidei shelo yechtu imoy v'lo yasrisu kenegdoy. V'im chato yishtada lo yichicha min dvarav nishmoy v'yaseh afanim v'yishavu l'faisor, v'shiyaskenu asa muvasam v'lo yosifu l'achtoy. V'akol b'seiru noe ba'ofen shelo yitzit takal atzad rinun v'chil Hashem chasu shalom. We keep reading. If he does say there is such an akuda that there are times you have to put someone in their place. There is such a concept that for Shishiv and a Rav is not treating you properly. That is what we spoke about yesterday, the idea of Kavod HaTorah. It's a very fine line between Kavod Atzmi and Kavod HaTorah. But if they're doing it for real, then yeah, you need to maybe sometimes put somebody in their place, but internally you need to be a stable individual. The Rav.
The Rav.
No, the Talmud, believe me, that's called the Pnei Hador Pnei HaKelev, right? That's when you know Mashiach is coming. When the Talmud says, oh, I have to put the Rebbe in place. It's like, he has to know who he is. Right? Nowadays you have a guy, this is more like, much more in like the Lakewood scene. I don't love Dafka in any particular community. A guy went to yeshiva, he didn't succeed. His Rebbeim, pretty much were pushing him and he wasn't interested in hearing what he had to say. And then what happens? He leaves yeshiva early. He gets into real estate. He gets into home, healthcare. Makes it huge and big. And now all of a sudden he sees all the rebbeim coming to him because they need to fund their institutions. And now he gets such a geschmack, such a simcha of he's the one now that he has to tell them what to do. Oh, so Rebbe, I hear you saying it's very good. I've been not in these particular situations, but I see the dynamics in terms of fundraising. Like, I appreciate what you're saying. I appreciate what you're doing. But I don't know, I feel like the way you're doing this is not the best way possible. Like now finally, there's a stam bach in yeshiva telling his rabbi what to do. He's stam shaking. Now I could be on the board of the yeshiva. Can you imagine how exciting that is? Oh, Gaiva. Gaiva's. Okay. I sounds like I hit the spot. The point is, okay. What? Is Nassim Meir listening to this? I'm not sure. Is this the first time? No, Nassim Meir listening. Don't worry. The point is, I hear you saying, you're saying good, but I will say like this. If you didn't like the yeshiva, then don't give to it, but don't go ahead back to them and then with Gaiva. Again, we're not saying from a real serious lishma place of wanting to fix the situation, but it's coming from a place of wanting to maintain or to gain control in a unhealthy psychological way to right all the wrongs that were done to you. There's a lot of people who are like that. See, I'm going to make it big and I'm going to make sure everybody else knows it and I'm going to make sure everybody else feels it. That's not normal, right? That's not normal. Okay, what's the point? The point is that somebody who has to be mechiach, libo yechala bekir by v'lo chol ma'isa shei shamayim. V'Hashem lo yimna toiv lohochem batamim, v'gadr gadr shalolav v'lei degai v'huli es borech v'na kovid, v'kol shekin shalei devakish gedula. For sure to run away from it as much as possible, and for sure not to mevakish gedula. Let's just explain what does it mean to mevakish gedula. What does that mean, the words mevakish gedula? What does that mean?
He wants
he's mevakish. He wants to be in a position of power. Right? There's a very famous Mishnah in Ovis that says that a person should not seek covet on the community in order to what? In order to tell everyone what to do. To have overt power over everybody else. Like we said before. But this can be very, very confused, and this is the balance out the nukud. It's very important to start, that if a person is lishma about it and says, I don't want to have a makom gedula, but I do want to be important. I want to make important decisions. I want to be able to make an impact on life, on Klal Yisrael, on myself, on everybody around me. That's not a big problem. And I think that people get very confused about that. That's true. You could. You could. Something. An echanami. No, I think they say b'shem the time. The point is they say b'shem. Everybody, there's even guys, philosophers that said that. That's not the nakuda. The nakuda is very, very important, which is that it should not, this idea of, I run away from COVID, should not replace a person's she'ifa to want to make a positive impact. Now, how that manifests, it could be quiet, it could be loud, it doesn't matter. But the desire to do something important, everybody should want to do something important. It's when you live in this world where, you know, you live in an apathetic life where you're disconnected from when you see a problems, you see challenges. You should want to make a difference. If that difference, I said the way it manifests,
right.
But the desire should be exactly the same. Right. I'm just going to finish with one last nakuda. This one last nakuda is it could be a pirkei tehillim and it could be something which is mamish. You start an entire organization and change the entire world. I'm not going to take a cover for something I never created. However, those are very, very big issues. There's a very famous chief rabbi of England, Oliver Shalom, who passed away. His name was our chief rabbi, Jonathan Sacks. Okay, no, we don't have to say everything about everybody. You know, there's the rabbi says, Yikabos Emes Mish. Omar says to Jonathan Sacks, something beautiful. Says something beautiful. We'll talk about it afterwards. Jonathan Sacks, something amazing. He said, Mamish Bigisoy. He's talking about a particular movement. Again, we're not going to go into, because you have to be normal people and to take what's positive and to, you can deal with everything later. About a certain movement, that was headed by another controversial figure, right? The Chabad. That's very interesting. The one thing that Chabad has over every single Jewish stream is something very amazing, which is that they're able to produce students, couples, families, whatever it is, that are willing to go to Nova Scotia and to suffer mamish lev v'nefesh. We're talking about literally bodily harmed, right? They're physically uncomfortable for a bigger idea than themselves. And yet they've never met the Rebbe. They have no shaykhis to him. They don't have even like the epis, a small little picture of their mother taking them to the Rebbe in 1993 to get a dollar that my brother, by the way, has, right? They're like my siblings have. And they got a dollar from the Rebbe. And the Rebbe's like, okay, I met the Rebbe. These kids are literally born in 2003 at this point, 2005 at this point. And they're willing to go to Nova Scotia and to suffer. Why? For Yiddishkeit. Where does that come from? Says Jonathan Sacks, why? Because when you live something bigger than yourself, it's able to have hamshacha for further on, for further generations. If someone only lives for themselves, okay, then it means I need my Coke, and I need my nice house, and I need my two cars, and I need all the comforts of the world. But if a person believes in something bigger than themselves, you'll be able to be above yourself.